word. Lord Jesus, please let his words come out amongst us all and settle on all our hearts. He's a great man. He wears some really cool t-shirts, I must admit. Thank you, Lord, for Scott. Amen.
Morning.
I'm good at shouting. That's good. Okay, so I've been talking. My last two sermons have been about the Book of Acts and the first two chapters in Acts, and it happened a little bit inadvertently. I liked one chapter, so I spoke about it, but that was the second chapter, so I then went back and read the first chapter and spoke about it, and then realised I've given it to you a bit back to front. So just want to do a quick recap, really, because the first talk I spoke was family, and about unity as one family, which I know you all remember because you're all brilliant like that. And the second talk was a couple of weeks ago, was about the Holy Spirit and waiting on the Holy Spirit before you act. So what I want to do is just quickly give you an overview of Acts chronologically, just picking out on what I spoke about recently, just a quick few points just so that you know where we're at in the story. So, first things first in Acts, Jesus had been raised from the dead, and he hung around for 40 days, to talk to the apostles and to prove to the apostles that he had in fact rose from the dead and he is who he said he was. So that was the first key point in Acts. Then after that, Jesus ascended to heaven. But before he ascended, he said to them, before leaving Jerusalem, before going out and spreading the word, wait for the Holy Spirit. And then off Jesus went. See, if the whole Bible was like this, you could get through it in a day, but it's not quite. Then the apostles and the women that was with them all went upstairs to a room to pray. And it says they stood together constantly in prayer, and they prayed and they waited for the Holy Spirit. Then after that, they went and they chose a replacement for Jesus. Prayed for that, casted lots, for Judas. Then the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, and people were having visions, they were prophesying, they were speaking in tongues, and all the other gifts that come with the Holy Spirit. And then after that, what I spoke about the first time, was the believers were in fellowship daily, breaking bread in each other's homes daily, and sharing everything that they had, and daily God was adding to their numbers. So that's a quick overview, without me going all the way back through Acts. So now we're all up to date. Today I'm going to talk about Acts 3. So you've all got your Bibles in on your table, so don't open them yet. Alex, have you got my theme music? So, we're going to do a sword drill. And you'll think, we've done it before. So when I give you the verse, you open your Bible. And when you've found it, you put it on your head. But you've got a time limit this time. You've got 2 seconds. Okay, brilliant. Thank God for YouTube. Did everyone know that the hall has internet now? How brilliant is that? That's exciting, isn't it? Okay, so the verse is Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Go. When you found it, put the Bible on your head. Oh, that was quick. That was like in 5 seconds, or? Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. Verse 1. Everyone there? Right, well, that was fun, wasn't it? Okay, Bibles can come off of your heads now. Chapter 3, verse 1. And again, one of you may have the Bible without Acts in, because that's a thing in Junction. So if anyone has the Bible without Acts in, I am sorry. Bow, please. Okay. So we'll all just wait for Joe. It's fine. So, you've not seen Cat. Anyways, we'll talk about it later.
I'm so reflective.
Okay, so Acts chapter 3, verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So you've all probably heard that verse before. But the first thing that stands out in this verse is the man was crippled from birth. Isn't something that happened to him later on. He's from birth. And put at a gate called Beautiful every day to beg. You know, every day. And for many, many days, I expect that Peter and John had walked past him. Because they'd been to the temple before. But this day, they stopped to talk to the man. On this day, they stopped to talk to the man. Now, we don't know if they'd stopped and talked to him before. We don't know if they've stopped and prayed for him before. But what we do know is that they did this day. And this day changed that man's life. This one day, this beggar is brought to the temple gates, put there and thought, "I'm going to sit here all day long, ask for money, and wait for somebody to come and pick me up and bring me home at the end of the day." But no. Peter and John decided to save that man's life, to change that man's life. "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Wow. I mean, come on. Could you imagine being that man? Crippled. "Oh, please can I have some silver? Please can I have some gold?" No. Have your legs back. "In the name of Jesus Christ, walk." And isn't that a lesson for the church? Not just for Junction, for the church in general, for all Christians. In this modern age, where money is so important, where technology, as great as it is, said we've got internet now in church, brilliant. But that's what it's all about, isn't it? New bells, being able to afford bacon and coffee. So much of our modern life is based around money and what people can afford. But Peter here says, "I don't have that." He doesn't need it. What Peter has is better. He has Jesus Christ. If Peter was the richest man in the known universe, he could have given that man shelter. He could have lavished him in clothes, given him a new Xbox, a new PlayStation, a plasma screen TV. He could have had the lot. He could have had everything he wanted. But that man would still be crippled. He'd still need to be carried places when he needed to go somewhere. He would still be crippled. He'd never walk again. This man had never walked. He'd never ran. He had never jumped. He doesn't know what that feels like. But what Peter had was Jesus. And he says, "In Jesus' name, walk." Now, how amazing must that feel? And as a church, as Christians, like I said, we can learn a lot from this. You know, we can get so caught up on stuff. Oh, we're not able to take that guest that we've got out on these, like, on nice days out, or we're so focused on, "Oh, I've got loads of guests around. Need to be able to put on a really nice dinner," or something like that. We're focused on this. But we can sometimes forget the most important thing that we own. It's not in our bank account. It is in our hearts. It's Jesus Christ that lives within us. And that's what Peter does here. He gives this man Jesus. But why now? Why did Peter do that on this day? Why? Why didn't Peter and John do it before? Why wait for today? Well, I think it's quite simple. And that's, they couldn't do it. They couldn't help him until today. Now, this is the first act of healing after Jesus ascended. This is the first act of that after Jesus ascended to heaven. It's the first act of healing performed by one of the apostles. And this is because they needed to wait for what it says in Acts 2. Wait on the Holy Spirit. Wait for the Holy Spirit to fill you in order to have that power. But through the Holy Spirit, Peter was able to proclaim healing in the name of Jesus Christ. As we all can. But, wow, what a faith that man must have had. What a faith. I mean, he was around at Jesus' time. He has got a little bit of an advantage over us that he had seen Jesus. He had walked with Jesus. He had seen Jesus after he'd risen from the dead. I mean, he's got that kind of over us. We have to take kind of our relationship on the Bible or through faith. He actually saw Jesus. He knew Jesus was real. So he does have that advantage. But think about it. When was the last time you walked down a street, saw someone in pain, or even in a hospital bed, gone to visit someone in a hospital, and saw someone in pain, and you thought, right, you're getting out of this day, and you've walked over to him, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are healed. When was the last time you did it? I haven't. I've not done it. Do you know? I have not done it. But I know people who have. And I'm sure we all know somebody or have heard the stories of people that have so much faith and so much of the Holy Spirit inside of them to be able to do that. But that gift of healing, that gift of all the gifts of the Spirit are all available to us for those who allow themselves to be fully submerged in the Holy Spirit and have faith and truly believe that what I will pray for in the name of Jesus, it will happen. It's not just healing, it can be in all whole manner of things. It could be praying for a new house, it could be praying for a new job, it can be anything. If you proclaim that in the name of Jesus and have real faith that it will happen, it will happen. That's what Peter did here today. In the name of Jesus Christ, walk. Short and sweet. Walk in the name of Jesus Christ. And off he got and walked. Now, I'm maybe getting some funny looks here. What, are we all going to go out and start making people walk? I'm not saying that. After this happened, actually, they went into the temple, and I'll read that now. So if you go back, have you all closed your Bibles? Or if you haven't, we get to play again. Here we go, we're going again. Acts chapter 3, verse 11. Go. Acts chapter 3, verse 11. It's the same page, I mean. So this is where we tell who paid attention and left their Bibles open and who hasn't. Go. Just give me a breather, that's why. I can sing. Find us. Okay. From what? From Countdown the Big Clock.
Yeah, there you go.
Is Countdown your nine-letter word? Alright, Bible's off your head. Oh dear, it's going to be one of them mornings, isn't it? Okay. Peter speaks to the onlookers. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk. Why are you looking at us like we've done it? We've not done it. The God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one, and asked that a murderer be released to you. I mean, this is quite strong, going into the temple with a healed man and then saying, you've done this. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man, whom you see and know, was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent. Then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes from God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people. Indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets who have spoken have foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples of earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. Okay. So what happened after he healed the man? John and Peter used this to show people the power of God. That's what they did next. And these, not only have they done that, these are the people that, in essence, sent Jesus to the cross. You know, and John and Peter bring in a once crippled man, now walking, saying that Jesus Christ is real, he has rose from the dead, he is the Son of God, and it is through him and him alone that this man is walking. Here is the proof of Jesus Christ's power. Not only that, but they're saying that God isn't angry. You know, he used you sending Jesus to the cross to suffer on the cross to answer the prophecy that was foretold many years before. But now you've done that, now you've forsaken Jesus and you sent him to the cross, you can now repent and turn to him and walk and follow Jesus Christ and be completely forgiven of that. You sent Jesus to the cross, now you can go with Jesus to heaven. What? That's what they're saying here. How amazing is that? That is grace. That is the grace of our God. Exactly. Sheer grace. You know, it might sound a lot to take in. God forgives even something like sending Jesus to the cross. He gives an opportunity for a relationship with him and to walk with him through everything that we do. It's incredible. Have you ever done something that you shouldn't have done? A couple of you have. A couple of you might have done something you should have done last night, last week. But have you ever done something that you should say sorry to God for, but you feel so bad about it, you feel embarrassed to go and talk to God and say sorry to God? Have you ever done something that you feel is so bad in God's eyes that you try and hide away from him? Oh no, Ollie, no, can't deal with that. I'm going to hide from God. Well, guess what? You can't. You can try all you like. You cannot hide from God. And guess what else? Whatever you did, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. These people were literally instrumental on putting Jesus on the cross. Pilate was going to free him. But he's just like, no, crucify Jesus.
God says, okay.
Jesus is crucified. Right, what next? I'll beat death. Death beaten. What next? What next? Go and show people that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. What next? Save those same people that sent Jesus Christ to the cross and give them the opportunity to walk with me and come to heaven with me. Wow, what you did isn't as bad as sending Jesus to the cross. And if it is, we'll pray for you after. I'm sure it isn't. God wants a relationship with you no matter what you have done. Not only that, but these were part of the first 5,000 group of people, as it says in the next verse in Acts, which I'll probably preach about next time. First real 5,000 followers of Jesus Christ. These were instrumental for going out and bringing the world to God. What we know today stems from this, through this act of love and grace and unconditional forgiveness. That's why we're here today, because of this act. It's incredible. Key part of moving forward and sharing the word of God and the goodness of God. As we all do. The cycle repeats itself. You know, the cycle repeats itself as it has done all throughout history. Come to God as you are. Give your life to him, be forgiven. What next? Let him into your life. Let the Holy Spirit fill you up. Next. Go out, act, pray for someone, heal someone, prophesy over someone. Host someone into your house and tell them the love of Jesus Christ. Introduce someone to Jesus Christ. They meet with God. People see healing. People see people get healed and think, I want a little bit of that. That person then opens a relationship with God. And the cycle repeats itself, as it has done through history. It doesn't stop at these people. These people pass that cycle down to us today, and that's what we do on a weekly, daily basis, what we should be doing. Repeating that cycle through history. It's so easy to look at the Bible and see the Bible as a book of stories. Well, that's a nice little story. Ah, brilliant. It's okay for them. Oh, Jesus Christ was able to heal a lame beggar through his apostles. That's lovely. It is. It's brilliant. But what also happens is it happens every day today. It happens through people like me, through people like you. It doesn't just stop in a Bible story. If we carried on writing about all the miracles that have happened since the biblical days, we would have a book 10 times bigger than the Bible. Because God is constantly acting. Jesus Christ is constantly working through his disciples, through people like us, in order to make this a reality in our daily lives. This is just the start of it that was documented. And I'm sure we all have stories of seeing this happen in people's lives, in our own lives. Miracles that God has worked in our own lives. It isn't just stories in a Bible. People in this church can talk in tongues. They prophesy. They still see visions. It's not stories of something that happened then. The Holy Spirit is very much alive in this world, in this church today. Now, our God is very, very real, and he is very, very active. And he forgives everything that you do. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. So what I want everybody to think about now is a very short sermon. But it's because what I want to do is take time, as I have done in the last few, to reflect on that. Because I think there's a lot in that of what we can be doing today. That is still, God is still active today. And what I want people to think about during worship is times when they have seen God's miracles today in your life, at any point for your life, something that you have seen God do through you, for you, or through somebody else, or someone completely else, anything. And as we worship, I want everyone to think about that, because I think it's really good as a church to encourage each other through those things. Because some people here might think, what is that crazy man in a really cool shirt thinking about? What is he chatting about? What is he going on about? That's not real. First time I heard a sermon like this, I thought, that bloke is crazy. What do you mean people are healing people? That's why I go to hospital. Do you know? And people, that, everyone's at a different stage in their walk. So I really want to encourage us all not to be scared to share, to think about a story. And at the end of a bit of worship, Joe, if you don't mind coming up and getting ready, at the end of a little bit of worship and singing, to actively let's share with each other the goodness of God and what God has done in people's lives. And let's really reignite that, of the power of God. And let's practice that as we go out through our lives, through our days. So I'm going to close in prayer. If you'd like to all stand for a bit of worship. Lord, I really thank you for what you do, for who you are, for sending your Son Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus. I want to thank you for forgiving every single one of us, no matter what we do, and let us have that relationship with you. And then through that, letting us perform these wonderful things in your name, in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that you will be with all of us in this place today. That you speak to us through the worship to reignite memories that we thought, oh, maybe that was just a coincidence. If it's a God incident, bring that to the front of the mind, Lord Jesus, and just give us encouragement to share with each other and really rise each other up. And I pray that as we leave this place, that we will be searching for you in everything that we do and really ignite that faith that we can proclaim anything in your name and that we can perform miracles in your name, Lord Jesus, through you. It is only by you. Amen.